Morning. Is this all right with you, Brother Phil?
Oh, yes.
I had no idea the Lord was going to move like this morning, or I would have been better prepared. But I'm going to trust the Lord in this, especially the last few songs that we sang, the choir sang. It just confirmed so much that the Lord would just, you know, just bring it back to my memory. What happened a few weeks ago up there at the ministry, and it involved this attack of theology that really caused me concern, and it really caused me to seek the Lord, and it caused me to pursue the Lord. And you know, I wanted to know the truth, and I brought these questions to the Lord just in the only way I knew how, in praying about it. And one thing that really struck me was this concept of the Lord taking his church out before the judgment. And first of all, it really did, when you read the character of God, I'm not so sure about this. It raised questions. But what happened, this was a catalyst by which I went out on the porch one day, and I had just listened to some of this, and I just said, Lord, is it your plan to take us out of here that we escape this judgment that is coming on earth? And it was very specific and very quick. The Lord spoke, and he said, did I deliver them Hebrew children from the fire, or did I deliver them in the fire? And I was like, they got delivered in the fire. And I began to think about that whole episode and what happened. And the reason why they were getting ready to be thrown into the fire to start with is they would not bow down because of this God that they had made of the king. And I seen this cartoon one time that was based on that, and it showed all these people. There was a statue there. They unveiled it, and everybody fell down on their face but these three guys. And you could see it everywhere. And they were three young guys. And the king was pretty upset, and everybody could see him. Everybody. And it made them so mad that they heated up this furnace 7 times. Now, I want you to think about what is going on there and us coming down, like Brother Phil said, to the short end of the horn. 7 times hotter. I believe the Lord's going to use a lot of this to get rid of those that are half in and half out. You're going to make a decision. Either I'm going to be with Christ or I'm going to be with the Antichrist. That's God separating the wheat from the tares. People are making a decision. A decision. One day you're going to make a decision that's going to decide where you're going to be, either in God's kingdom or not. And whatever decision that is on that day, it's going to be it. You ought to know that and realize it. You could cross a line with Jesus Christ in this world that you cannot come from. Come as Esau. Ask them people that thought that they was going to jump on that ark when the first drop of water fell. They had made a decision. They thought they was out thanking God, didn't they? Whatever decision that you think that you're going to out thank God with, you need to throw it in the trash can right now. Because he's long done thought about it. But God has a reason, he has a purpose, and he has a plan as we go down to the end. We should understand that he has a purpose in this. We should understand that as we go down through these things, God, it wants to use these vessels of clay that ain't no good to flow through. And he has a purpose for that. He's got people watching. He's got people looking. As this world gets darker and darker, there are people that are waking up to see this stuff is for real. It's for real. There is people that sit under word for 50 and 60 years that are starting to say, this stuff is for real. There's things happening. God is opening eyes. And I want you to think about when they heated up that furnace 7 times hotter. That's how mad the world is going to be because of us at this end time. They're going to be mad in this stuff. But the devil knows he has but a short time, and he has to flow through other people that is going to attack us. God is going to allow it. We should be prepared for it. God is going to let Lucifer loose in a way that the apostasy is going to get so bad that if it wasn't for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, even us would be deceived. I have to keep that in the forefront of my mind when I see some of the things going on, that they don't shake me. We are on a firm foundation in Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, who rose on the third gate, and that should be in the forefront of our thought every day about everything. Everything. Anything that comes out that does not put Jesus Christ first and foremost, you put a check on it. You put a check on it. Because Christ is the firstborn of every one of us. The firstborn. Christ's firstborn. Through Christ, we have everything that we need coming first. I mean, we are on the winning side.
Amen.
The winning side. But God has a purpose for all of us going through the things that we're going through.
Amen.
And in Romans chapter 8, which is something very familiar. And in fact, I was back there, and the Lord just drawed out. This probably was the final nudge that he gave me that I said, okay. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. It says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the joy which shall be revealed in us. God, through these things that we're going through, is going to bring out Jesus through us. And that Jesus is not worth, that happening is not worthy to be compared for whatever we're going through. That's what he's saying. And as you go through things, and as the Lord allows you to see the things going on around you, the more confidence you're going to get in this. Because of the sufferings the church is going through, God is going to open eyes in people. And the most blessed thing I ever see in my walk with the Lord is to see changed lives. To see changed hearts. I can't put it into words. It gives you, I tell you what, it'll make you do things that you wouldn't really do and go where you wouldn't go. When you see the Lord change lives. And the Lord is using these afflictions because these afflictions draw us closer to God. They make you want Jesus Christ, don't they? I tell you, they do me. And when you get that point where you go, God has to bring us to a place of what? Obedience. Will adjusted with His will. That's when Christ will flow. And it is Jesus, God Almighty, that opens the hearts and minds and eyes of other people. He's the only one that can do that.
Amen.
Only one. And we look at this story right here. This furnace been heated up 7 times. And when they opened it up, however that happened, I don't know. It actually consumed the ones that was going to throw them in there. Don't that tell us something about the end? Who is going to be destroyed by this fire? Those that are out to destroy us. Ain't that what Brother Phil said? God's going to dump all of this into a incinerator one day and burn it up. He sure is. But there was something that happened right there that I believe the Lord, right there is where there was a... After these people that were going to throw them in there were destroyed, who was there to throw them in the fire? This is something where them having this connection with God, being obedient to God, they went through the fire. They then walked into the fire. They were obedient to God. They submitted themselves. They said, even if we die, we're going to do what the Lord wants us to do. And they proceeded in that fire. And a marvelous, marvelous thing happened in this fire. Because of their obedience to God, Jesus Christ came out. And think about what happened after that. I may be wrong on this right here. I'm not totally sure. I don't know enough of the Bible to tell you. But I believe that this may be the first time that we even found out that there was even a Son of God, as far as I could know. And it happened to a heathen man that was looking in there. A heathen man that didn't know a thing, more than likely, about God. And when I think about the Son of God, and he looked in there, and he saw Jesus Christ. Isn't that telling us something? That stood out to me. This persecution, this judgment that we're headed for, is going to bring Jesus Christ out in us in a way that people that have no idea about the Lord and Savior Jesus, God is going to open their eyes to see Jesus. That's His purpose. That's His plan. Is to use us in a way that He can reveal Himself to the lost people of this world. He sure is. He's going to use this to open eyes. So why in the world would He take us out? I think that we need to be prepared in seeking the Lord. And last time I was here, I told Brother Carl a little bit about this outside. And I told him, if I remembered that, I'd say something about it. But I came home from prayer meeting one night or Wednesday night church service, I forget. Came home, I walked in there, and Mama went right to bed. And I turned on the TV watching the news. And there was all these people, they were in the street, and they were screaming and hollering. I couldn't really make out what he said, but the news commentator, he said, they're screaming and hollering, saying that the reason why we got all these problems is because of Christians, and they included white men, Christians and white men's. And I'm going, wow, this is getting bad pretty quick. And I finally cut it off. I went to bed, and when I went to bed, I was thinking, Lord, am I ready? Am I there to give my life for you? If I have to give up my life out here, I said, am I ready? And I fell asleep with that. And I had a dream that night. And when I realized that I was on the side of this cliff, and it was a sandy cliff, and it was going down like this, and I was on the edge of it, and I was walking on it, and it was caving in, and it was sliding, and I couldn't, and I was scared, and it was going down, and when I followed the dirt as it was falling down the side of this hill, I looked up there. At the bottom of this thing was a big old lion. I mean, a big old lion looking at me, looking at his lip, had a head up there. So up there, and I'm like, and I looked behind me, and there was a rock ledge, flat place. And I jumped like this and sat on it. And this rock ledge kind of went down like this to where that lion was, and I was sitting up there. And all of a sudden, I couldn't see the head of the lion, but I could see its paws trying to come up from the edge that I could sit on. And I realized, whoa, I ain't safe here. This lion, I could see its claws just doing like this. So I flipped over like this, and I started falling. And then I realized I wasn't falling, but I was on this road. And I was moving, and it was going real fast, just like this, just wind in my hair, and it just, and it actually felt good. This feels good. But something hit me. You're going to have to stop somewhere and go back up. And I'm like, whoa, you're going to have to stop. And then I just fell right into this landing, and I got up. And I looked up, and there was this hill going almost straight up. But there was a tree limb sticking out here, and there was one here and there. And I grabbed that limb, and a funny thing happened. I remember I said, I'm so glad I lost some weight. This would have been difficult if I'd have been as big as I used to be. So, but anyway, it ended. And I actually forgot all about it until the next day. And the Lord hit me with it because it came back to my mind first about what I was thinking about before I fell asleep about, am I ready to give my life for Jesus Christ? And then I remembered the dream. And the Lord told me this. He said, I took care of you then. And I'll take care of you when you get down to the end. I'll take care. And I looked at my life, and I seen what the Lord was saying in all of that. My Lord has been with me my entire life. He has been watching over me and protecting me. And he's going to do it right down to the very end. And we can count on it and reckon it to be so. We ain't got to worry about it. God's got it. Yes. He's got it. Yes. He sure does. And there's something else here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 10, that I think is very important that we should know, realize that God, in this process that we're going through, God is preparing us for heaven. We are on this wheel. He is the potter, and we're clay, and he is molding us and bringing us to the image of Jesus Christ. That's his purpose. And in here, it's, I like what it says at number 10 here. And think about the story. And think about the three Hebrew children and what they went through in the process. What God was doing through them. And it says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Christ might be manifested in our body. Second Corinthians chapter 4, yeah, verse 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Christ might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto the death of Jesus, for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Christ might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. See what's going on?
Amen.
See the purpose behind going through the fire? See what the Lord is doing? As the Lord kills this flesh, Christ is going to come out. He's going to reveal himself. And this God is going to use to help other people. Wonder why I'm always going through this. I'm always going through that. This is happening. Well, praise God, the Lord is using you. And he's using these things because he wants to help other people, including you. There's a reason for it. Nothing can happen outside of God's will.
Amen.
Nothing. So if you are going through something, or I am going through something, God has ordained it to be so. And I didn't know how the Lord was going to tie this in, because I said, Lord, I don't see how this is going to work out. But now I do, the Lord. But I went through something very personal here rather recently, the first week of January. And there was a lot of illness going around. And I was kind of up. I would have it, not have it. It was kind of up and down. And I finally had to go to the urgent care, and I got some antibiotics. And a few days later, I was fine. But in the course of this, I started taking NyQuil at night before I went to bed. Just a shot of NyQuil, and it helped me sleep. Well, I did this for like 3 days. I went to urgent care. I got some antibiotics. I was on them about 3 days. This was a Friday night. And by Friday night, it was fine. But let me tell you what happened. That what started out with a shot of NyQuil one night, that by that Friday night, I took a shot of NyQuil, two Benadryl, and that other stuff that helps you sleep. And because I'm the kind of guy, well, if that worked good, I'm going to get more. And so by the time it got to Friday night, I had a cocktail of all, you know. And I knew Friday night that I did not need this because I was fine. I did not need this, but I wanted it. My addictive nature, I wanted it. And so I did it. And I knew the next morning, because Benadryl gives me, the next day from Benadryl, I have like a hangover, because it makes me all groggy. I end up oversleeping when I take it. And I end up getting the next morning, I'm drinking coffee for 2 hours trying to get woke up in this daze, and it always affects me. And I hate it. And that's exactly, Saturday morning, that's exactly what happened. And I'm sitting there, and the devil comes in. There's all kind of condemnation. 3 months from now, you're going to be drinking a half a bottle of NyQuil to go to sleep. Then one day, you're going to be in Walmart, and they're going to catch you with a half a buggy of NyQuil. And you a preacher down there. And the devil is just pouring. Oh. And it's really pressure is really going on. And I said, I got to get some Word of God flowing in this room. So I started looking at the DVDs I got there. I said, I just need to get there. So I found something. I didn't really care what it was. Just get it in there. And I got a DVD in there, and I got the Word of God flowing, but this is still going on. But something really started happening. It was like a light bulb went off the stone. This is one of them opportunities that we hear about in church. We hear about these weak points. We hear this place where we really need to press in though. The opportunity, and I begin to, yeah. And you see, when you're sitting in church and you hear that, you're going, yeah, when I get like that, boy, I got it. But when you it's a whole nother ball game. And you really have to just focus in, I'm going to believe God. And it is a pressing in. It is a reaching forward and taking call. You are involved because you're doing something that you don't want to do. And there was this reality. This is an opportunity. And I just said, Lord, I need you, and I realize I need you, and I need you right now. And I just focused on that, and I started pressing into the Lord, praying and seeking the Lord, quoting scriptures when I pray. And after a while, it just becomes so real. It just becomes so real on a scale I couldn't believe. And then this Father, there was a want for God that blew up in me and I was pressing in. I was crying out, and I wanted the Lord with all my heart, mind, and soul. It was probably one of the best prayer meetings I ever had. And it was real. And I will tell you, the Lord did not let me down. And he came down. And it was... I tell you what, Jesus Christ, there's a feeling of love that you just cannot express in words. And it was so real that he come down. And I could hear him talking here. In a spirit of love and comfort that it just sucked you in. So, and I will tell you the first thing the Lord said in my ear. So he said, this is not your fault. Say, your fault. And the Lord was not there because of the NyQuil and the stuff. It was because that was just a symptom of a deeper problem. Another problem. God was going deeper into me than I thought. And the Lord started praying about this anxiety in me. There's an anxiety in me that the Lord was time to deal with. And the Lord used all of this to get me into a place where he could plead with me face to face, in a place where I would respond, and I was on the place. I was there where I needed to be so I could hear and listen to the Lord, because he was getting ready to deal with something deep in my heart that was causing me a lot of problems. And it was my anxiety. And it is. And I think he tried to speak to me a couple of times about it. But I was bad to have my whole day governed by a clock. Need to do this and need to do that. Something on the clock. And that will cause you to make a lot of bad decisions. If you focus in on that and you give in to that, not realizing the main important thing is who controls my schedule in reality? Jesus Christ. The reality of your day is Jesus Christ, whether you know it or not. He controls your schedule. He has your time in the palm of his hand. All of it. And that was just a reality to me on a scale that but the Lord said, it's not your fault. This ain't your fault. because I have been raised and conditioned my whole life in an attitude of production. Whatever amount of work I got done the day before in a certain period of time, I was trying to beat the next day. That's the way I've been raised. I've been in supervision. I've been in management my entire life. Always trying to get the most out of any hour and day I can. And my mind is just geared in that way. And I've been conditioned. It was something that it served me good in a part of my life that the Lord had me in. It did serve me good. But now it's interfering with what the Lord's doing. And the Lord is saying, it's time for that to go. It's time to lay that down. And I'm going to tell you what, it has been a struggle. But I thank God, the Lord gave me a couple of days there. That happened on that Saturday morning. And the Lord gave me a couple of days without any kind of, I would say, restrict. He took away the pressure. He took away the devil. He took off because he wanted me to see something. And I begin, every time I look at the clock, I say, you got it. And the Lord allowed me to do this. And that Saturday, something happened that would not have happened otherwise. I ran into somebody that not only I got to share the Lord with, but they shared the Lord back with me. And when you look at how that happened, 1 second either way on their schedule, mine, if I'd have gave you, because during that day I was saying, Lord, it's in your hands, and I would just go with whatever's going. And if I had not done that, this, it would have never happened. It was on the second to a second. I stepped out of my car, and the director and his wife coming down the hill on Saturdays, they drive through there. The director like to see what's happening when he ain't there. And I step out of my car, and they come down the hill right there they are. And the conversation would take too long, but we was able to share Christ with each other in a way that it was wonderful. And I said something that encouraged them, and they said something that just really I need to hear. And this thing would have never happened. And the next day was Sunday. I'm still trying to remember what that one was, but it happened again with somebody else, and I can't remember what that was right now. Maybe to come back to. But the Lord was allowing me to see as I surrender what I want to do to what he wants to do, then Christ can use me in a greater way. And not only that, but I get Christ coming in. Not only is Christ going out, but Christ is coming in too. And I was like amazed. And so often, near the end of my day, in the afternoon, when I generally go up to take all my responsibilities about 5 o'clock, what happens a lot of times is I'm ending up sitting there for sometimes three hours waiting for 5 o'clock. And I realize, well, I could have spent more time doing that, or I could have, and I got this, you know. Now I'm watching TV for 3 hours, waiting to come there, and I could have been doing something else. If I allowed the Lord to just surrender what I want to do with my time to him, because I don't have no reason to be anxious no more. I don't. I'm retired. I don't need to be anxious. But it is a change of the way I'm used to thinking. And God is trying to change the way I'm thinking, because I don't need this anxiety. And he wants to use me in a greater way. And to do that, he's going to have to get me to a point that I realize he's got my time. He's got my schedule. And he knows better what to do with it than I do. He knows what's coming. He knows what's happening. And that has been an adjustment for me. I'm telling you, that's easy. Because come Monday morning, come all the pressure strength for you. But he did give me 2 days to see the importance of this and how it would work. Now comes all the stress, you know, and the fight of willing to do his will, you know. And that has just been a wake-up call with me. But when you look at what happened, though, God used this whole thing to bring me to this point. He used this thing that was concerning me with this knife wheel. Take it in. I thought that was the problem. The knife wheel was not the problem. God went deeper in there. Because a lot of times what happens on the outside is just a symptom of a deeper problem on the inside. And God is working on the inside. And as the Lord works on us and brings us into a greater understanding of the truth in Christ Jesus, whereby he could use us and circumstances, Christ is going to flow out of us that God is going to use to open the eyes of the heathen that don't know God. That's the reason why God don't save us and take us all to heaven when he gets us saved. Because somebody needs to be a witness down here, don't they? How else will we get saved? Praise God. I think I'm done, Brother Phil. I really do, and I hope I didn't mess up. But I think it's important that we realize that the Lord has a reason and a purpose and a plan for everything we're going through. Think about the prayer request. Nobody gets saved because they want to. I heard Brother Thomas say that, and Brother Paul Campbell said it one day. I was driving back to them. He said, Rick, nobody gets saved because they want to. God brings about, and thank God he does, the situations and different things to bring us to a place, our will, land with his will, and a realization that we need God. That we need God. And there's a surrender to God. And that means giving God your life. You give God your life, it's no longer your own. That's a mouthful. A mouthful. And that's something that we should have consciously on our mind every single day when you wake up. What is your will in this day? And I think that just flows with the whole concept is I need to realize that God has got my time, that he has my schedule. Sometimes we get up in the morning and we're rushing out the door and we don't give God 5 minutes and we don't realize that 10 minutes outside the door you might be in the hospital with your hands and legs up like this with the Lord Jesus at the end of the bed going, how much time you got now? Yeah. So praise the Lord. I hope that was edifying. Amen. Praise God. The Lord is good. He's wonderful. And whatever we need as we go down to the end, God is going to supply it. And he's going to give us every reason to draw into him. Every reason. We don't have to worry about it. God, who is taking care of you now, is going to take you into eternity taking care of you. And we can be confident. He that has begun a good work in each one of us is going to finish it. Yes. And we can praise God and love God. Don't you just love the Lord? Amen. I tell you, he's given me so much to be thankful about. The quality of life that I have now, I could not imagine. God has been so wonderful to me. Amen. Wonderful. Give me a life worth living. Doing for me things I wouldn't even do for my own self. And thank God he don't listen to me. I'm glad he don't listen to me. Because I wouldn't be here now if he was listening to me. And I praise the Lord. I thank you for his mercy and grace. And I thank you for, I tell you what, I pray all the time. I say, Lord, take away my disobedience. And give me correction. And give me obedience. And take away my unbelief. And give me a double portion of belief. I said, Lord, take away my fear. And give me power and love and a sound mind. I said, I want it, Lord. I want it. I tell you what, the Lord is worth everything. Yes. He gives us peace. And he gives us joy and happiness. Even in the fire. He does, you know. He's there right with us. He's going to be with us to the end. He's going to love us and care for us. Meet every single need. All the way into eternity. Amen. Not going to want for anything. Because Christ is going to be in here. And when you have Christ in here, you have it all. Amen. All.
Amen.
We are complete in him, lacking nothing. We can trust him and love him. Praise his holy name.
Amen.
He's worthy to be praised.
Yes,
he inhabits as the praise of his people. When you feel down and feel like you can't do anything else, you can always lift your hands to the Lord and say, praise God.
Yes.
Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you.